Hey, this is Tyler Joe Miller, and you're listening to Music's Journey with my friend Kim Sear.
Same familiar neon blue, same old band playing something new. Been a while since I've seen Jack and Jim. Bartender says, where the hell you been? I said, that's a story I don't want to talk about. Pour a double on the rocks, cause I came here to drown. This one was a top shelf herd. Didn't need it when I had her. Cause I traded the burn for the sweet on her lips. The midnight smoke for a moonlit dip. Got high enough on love. Didn't need to park my ass on an old bar stool. Now I'm hammered at a quarter past two. Cause it's way too sober. Knowing it's over, she don't miss me.
You just heard a snippet of the new single, Back to Drinkin' Whiskey, by multi-award-winning country artist Tyler Joe Miller. Back to Drinkin' Whiskey showcases Tyler Joe Miller completely in his element, bringing forward the emotions and storytelling that helped launch his career, with hits like Pillow Talkin' and I Would Be Over Me Too. This new song has Tyler Joe Miller's trademark sound, which is going to be pleasing fans all over the world, with his signature sound that is all over his growing catalog. Tyler Joe has quickly made a name for himself in Canadian country music and continues to raise the bar with his new single, Back to Drinkin' Whiskey. After releasing his gold-certified debut single, Pillow Talkin', at the end of 2019, the catchy tune earned him the title of iHeartRadio Future Star and became his first number one single at Canadian country radio. An unprecedented and record-breaking climb followed with singles like I Would Be Over Me Too, with a steady climb on the charts earning Tyler Joe the distinction as the first independent Canadian country artist to reach number one at radio with his first two singles. With hit after hit, along with the lead single of his sophomore project, Wild As Her has collectively streamed over 33 million times to date. In 2021, Tyler Joe was named SiriusXM's Top of Country winner, in addition to taking home four CCMA award nominations last year. Continuing with his momentum throughout 2022, Miller released Never Met a Beer, a collaboration with fellow rising country star Matt Lang, who marked his sixth consecutive top 10 single at Canadian country radio. Here to talk about his new single, new music, and tour this year, including Boots and Hearts Music Festival on August 13th, where he'll be headlining the front porch stage, is CMA award-winning country artist Tyler Joe Miller. Hi.
Hello. How's it going, Kim?
Good. How about you?
Oh, doing pretty good. Can't complain.
That's awesome. It's always great to have you on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm hoping that the reception's going to be good the whole time. I'm up at my cabin ice fishing and snowmobiling, so I'm in a spot that should be good reception.
Well, that's where you get grounded, right? Back in nature.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I need this.
I bet, after the year you've had.
Yeah, it's been long. It's been a lot going on, and I don't really get too much time to, you know, not be on the road and just chill out for a little bit. So it's definitely life-giving.
You got to take the breaks when you can get them. That's for sure.
Exactly. Yeah.
Last time I had you on the show, you were coming off of your four awards at the British Columbia Music Awards, and you were heading to Cavendish, and you were hitting the main stage.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty, pretty cool. Tell us what that was like for you.
Oh man, it was, I remember we headed all the way over there, and I think I was on like the 2:30 slot on the Thursday or something like that. And so I remember we were rolling up in the bus, and I was saying to my management, I was like, guys, I don't know if anybody's going to be there. I was like, I don't know if, you know, I would come out on a Thursday at 2:30. And so
at that show,
I was kind of worried.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, and I got proven very wrong. I guess people in the Maritimes love concerts.
Mm-hmm.
And so we rolled up, and my management goes, Tyler, look outside. I was like, no, I don't want to. And they're like, no, you got to look outside. And I looked out, and I was like, oh, my gosh. And they told us that there was probably already about, like, over 20,000 people there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so... And like I get on stage and I can't see the end of people. And so, you know, I'm thinking, you know, well, thanks, Luke Combs, for bringing your fans so early. and then I get on stage and we start playing my songs. And like, I swear from the first song we play, the whole crowd is shouting my songs as well.
I told you.
And so it was like, yeah, it was cool where, you know, I'm thinking these are all, you know, just there for Luke Combs. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh my God, these are my fans too. And so it was definitely like an eye-opening experience and humbling in the same way. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, it was just really cool to see that many people. That's the biggest crowd I've played for. And just seeing them belting out my music like that.
Pretty cool.
Was just awesome. And even playing new songs. We try to teach, you know, the crowd a couple of new songs in our set.
Mm-hmm.
And, we had one, and I taught the crowd at the end of the chorus, and the way that they were singing it back to me was unbelievable. And so it wasn't just the songs that they knew, but the songs that they just learned as well that they were belting out. And so it was just so cool.
It's a music island. And I remember when I went there and did my first Cavendish, I was shooting for the tourism magazine there and covering the island for them, but it was my first Cavendish Festival, and I was there to see Daughtry. And,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, and it was pouring rain. It had been raining for 11 days, and it was such an incredible experience because the people love music, and that festival mm-hmm. is the biggest thing. And it's just, they'll be there all day long, and it doesn't matter what the weather is. The rain or shine, they are lined up at the gates first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, totally. And they said that people were, like, pushing through the gates at, like, 7 a.m. or 8 a.m. or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the night before, it was stormy and pouring rain.
Mm-hmm.
So even getting the vehicles in to load out equipment was tough because it was just so muddy.
Mm-hmm.
And me and Mackenzie Porter were doing like a pre Cavendish party thing on the Wednesday, and they still came and packed the tent. Like it was unreal.
It's a
like,
great
experience. They just come for the music no matter what. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was an unbelievable experience. Yeah, I'll never forget that one.
I know Mackenzie was so excited. I think I had her on the show just before you. And she was so excited to be able to get out there, and she wasn't sure if she's going to be able to tour. And I said, the weather might not cooperate, but it's worth it. It's such a beautiful island, and the people are just so caring and so friendly.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a great experience to go to that one.
It really is. And she, I think they had some like flight issues coming in too. And so I think they were a bit, you know, a lot going on, but, mm-hmm. but she just came and just showed up and just killed it. Mackenzie's great, and seen her out, you know, signing autographs and hanging out with the fans in the pit and stuff after too is just, I gained a lot, you know, I've always had respect for her, but gained a lot more, mm-hmm. just seeing how she is, you know, before and after shows and how she is to people. And, she's just the real deal. She's a sweetheart and just a badass musician too.
Oh, I
she's
know just so she good. Is.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Let no, me tell
I was
you.
Very, very honored to play beside her.
Let me tell you, you're pretty damn good when it comes to your live performances too.
Oh, thank you.
It had to be very cool to be opening for somebody that you look up to, Luke Combs. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's got to be a surreal moment knowing that you're sharing the stage with him, but not just that you're opening in support of the artist that you look up to.
Absolutely. And I think that's, you know, me and the band have had such great opportunity, right out of the gates with that. And, you know, it's hard to open up for a country artist that isn't a good experience because mm-hmm. It's the best industry for, you know, the best musicians that are, you know, humble and, you know, just so hospitable. But it's really cool being able to right out of the gates, be able to open up for people that we really look up to, and me and the whole band do. And you know, the summer we got to open up for Luke Combs and Tim McGraw and, you know, people that were like, how the heck are we on this lineup?
Because you're that good. You're just that good. Oh,
thanks.
I don't think it's really sunk in. I don't think it's really sunk in, the success and the kind of voice you have and your songwriting. I really don't think it has it?
I hope not. You know, I think it's more, it hasn't really. Like, it's one thing knowing that I'm not, you know, at a 9-to-5 job anymore doing contracting. That, mm-hmm. that, you know, is the tangible part for me that goes, okay, like, I'm not doing that anymore. So, like, music, you know, this hobby that I had before is now my full-time thing. That's the tangible part that I can understand. But when it comes to being able to play shows like that, it's still one of those things that it's like, you know, I got told I had my first number one when I was spraying a ceiling doing a renovation.
I remember that.
And so, yeah. And so it's still this weird thing that doesn't compute in my mind yet. Mm-hmm. But you know, I hope it never does, because it just, you know, keeps me on my toes and keeps you grounded, mm-hmm. which, you know, I think every musician should have something that keeps them grounded. Mm-hmm. Me, my band is definitely one of them, because they've been with me before, you know, I was
all
ever,
this started.
You know,
yeah.
Before any of this started, we used to play at church together. And so
you got now, a pretty cool story. You got a very, very cool story. Let's dig into that just a little bit, and how you grew up and the impact of being out, you know, where you are probably right now is at the family cabin, I would imagine, right?
Yeah, this is where I started listening to country music.
Yeah.
You know, this is where I, you know, started singing along to Garth Brooks and Brad Paisley and Brooks and Dunn and all that. So this is where basically it all started for me.
Mm-hmm. Being out in nature, there's something really special about it. And you and I were talking about that last time, because I can really relate. Being a wildlife photographer, that's my calm. So when I'm stressed out or just need to have a bit of a break, that's where I go, is back out in nature. And you are the same way too. How did that relate to country music for you?
Oh man, it kind of came hand in hand with me, because I remember, you know, we'd be cranking the country music and stuff when we're up country here in the Caribou. And I remember, like, I'd be driving dirt bikes or snowmobiles or, you know, something that was like, I'd be riding something loud, if it's the ATVs or dirt bikes or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And I just remember just singing all the time. And I'd hear these melodies and these stories, you know, on the radio here and whatever CDs my mom or whoever was playing. And I would just try to make my own. And that's kind of where it started, was me just trying to create songs and stories and stuff, just when I was on my own, just being out in nature. When I'm, you know, either out on, you know, out on the lake ripping across on the snowmobile, or hell, even like water skiing or wakeboarding or something like that in the summer, or on a dirt bike trail out in the bush, I was always just, I'm never just sitting there in silence. It's always just singing. And so I think for me, I'm either an overthinker or I don't think at all.
I was going to say,
really,
your mind.
Have a medium.
Yeah, your mind must go a lot.
It does. Mm-hmm. But the beautiful thing about being out in nature is I don't have to think about anything. I get to just let everything go, and mm-hmm. I get to be out here and just be with what other thoughts I want to have. And so when I'm out in nature, it inspires me. You know, I'm not mm-hmm. just singing about being out in the bush and doing all that. Like, there's, my life has become so public, which mm-hmm. I'm not exactly used to, but, you know, there's private things about my life that I like to keep private.
Right.
And being out in the bush and up in my cabin and stuff like that, like, that's one thing that I normally keep pretty private. And, but it gives me life, and it gives me a blank canvas almost to write new stories and new songs and stuff. And so here I get to just unplug. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just be out in nature, and it inspires me in a lot of different ways. And I think it's just letting me
recharge
about different things. Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. Mm-hmm. And I'm an extrovert, so normally being around other people gives me energy. But, you know, there's something about just kind of being out here that it does something different to you.
It's a focus in a way that's hard to explain. For me, it's the sounds, just the smells even. It just allows me to unplug in that way. But then I think clearer. Then whatever I need to get done in my head or, you know, whatever is taking place in my life at that point, I can think so much clearer. And I just like unload everything when I head back. I'm able to tackle whatever it is. And it's a clarity that you can't explain.
Yeah. And you're just not limited by the rest of life going on.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like even today, like I'm doing ice fishing and snowmobiling and whatever. And it's like, we don't even know what time it is. It's just whatever feels right. And you know, we get to just go do it.
I miss that.
I know it's nice. And I'm so used to being like, all right, it's, Thursday fly out and Friday a show and, you know, all this travel stuff. It's nice just to not have that structure.
Yep.
Because the rest of my life, I'm a very unorganized person. and so having the schedule, I think it's good for me because I'm learning, new skills.
Right.
And I think it helps me grow just as a person too, of having tighter schedules and being a bit more organized. And I can thank my management for whipping me into shape too. But
it's new habit forming, new chapter.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it was really tough at the start, but now I've gotten more the hang of it and just getting more used to it. But having those times that you're not just stuck to a schedule is really, really valuable now. And I think it's, you start being more grateful for those things and see them as more valuable.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's nice.
Well, you have to do the grind. Unfortunately, it's a huge part of this career. And, being able to take the no's, the yeses, the success, and when it's not there, and having that balance and that frame of mind. And that's what all of this structure sets you up for. It sets you up for success. It sets you up for all the ups and downs that you're going to go through in this career. And, that's absolutely key. And having a good team behind you is so important, and you've got that now. You've got one hell of a team behind you right now.
I do.
Mm-hmm. I totally get you. I totally get you. I just miss the ice fishing. Yeah, we're gonna have to do that one day.
Yeah, I love that. Mm-hmm. Ice fishing is yesterday it was beautiful here, and the woman that was in one of the holes near to us, she pulled out like a 6 or 7 pound rainbow trout yesterday.
Oh, nice.
And I was so jealous because I didn't catch anything.
See, everybody has their secrets to what they use for lures or live bait too, right?
Oh, seriously. And she's just so calm. And she's such a good, she's so good at fishing. And, it's just certain people just have that skill set. And I think I'm not too shabby at it, but I think she probably has a bit more patience than me. But just being out fishing, rod in your hand, beer in the other, it's that's my piece. I think I'm probably along the same lines as Dean in that way of getting out in nature and being inspired and writing stuff. I think me and him are probably pretty aligned in that way. And which is going to be fun because we have a show in a couple weeks together. We have a few shows this year, actually, which is fun. That's my first show of, back in this new season of shows. So in a couple weeks, we're playing Calgary, and then the day after, we're playing in Abbotsford, BC. And so, we'll get some shows together.
I know that's coming soon. I know that's coming really soon. Let's talk a little bit about your work with the church and the amazing experience that you had working for Hope of Life. That we talked about before, and that's just such a special part of your life, but it's also set you up to be really grateful for the things that are going on in your life too. So tell us a little bit about that.
I first started doing trips down to Guatemala and partnering with Hope of Life through a church, and then eventually they ended up basically not wanting to support that charity anymore and go work somewhere else, which didn't sit right with me. And so I was like, man, we sponsor a couple of villages down here, and like we have sponsor kids, and like we get to see them grow up, and we get to hang out with them, and we get to be here for these people. And you know, it just didn't sit right with me that we would just up and go. Mm-hmm. And these villages have had people do that before. And so yeah. I was like, we're not going to be one of those people. And so I actually basically disconnected from the church and started like my own nonprofit. Mm-hmm. So we continued doing the work that we were doing with the church before, but we just, ours is like it's just a humanitarian organization. You know, I don't care. We don't care what background you come from. As long as we want to help people, we're on the same page. And so, we just continued doing that. And I'd stopped doing music for a while. And that's kind of what brought me back into music was, you know, I'd have my guitar down in Guatemala. You know, I'd do some music and stuff out there at the night times. And then some guy heard me playing my guitar. And he was like, hey, I didn't know that you were doing country music. I was like, well, I guess that's what you call it. I just write songs and this is what they come out as. And, you know, and he's like, well, you should be doing country music. And at that time I was like, well, I was more worried about impressing that girl that I was playing the guitar for. But,
Isn't it always the guy in the guitar? That's the first thing I bet you guys tell each other, you know what, if I could just play guitar, if I could just do that, then I get the girls. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Got to do it somehow. But, he said to me, like, you know, I didn't know that you were doing country music, you know, professionally. And I was like, oh, I'm not at all. You know, I'm a contractor and, just happy running my business and happy doing this nonprofit thing. Like, people's my passion over music. And, mm-hmm. and he goes, well, you should, what if you built a platform for yourself where people not only want to hear what you have to sing, but you have to say, and you can use that platform to influence more people to help. I was like, well, crap, I can't say no to that. And so I started playing, you know, putting my name out there, playing for other people. And I was just a utility musician. And so, you know, I was just playing guitar and backup vocals for people and, you know, some other instruments. And that's kind of how everything started. And then MDM, my label, saw a video of me that I put out with a friend of mine. And I was playing for her a couple shows. And she's like, hey, you want to do some cover videos? And so we put out a video, and that's where my label saw me singing, and they were like, hey, you should be doing your own thing. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how everything got started. But, you know, I told them from the get-go, you know, I'm not doing this just to be a musician and just to be a rock star and, you know, whatever it is. I was like, man, I have a mission on, you know, using this platform to help people. Mm-hmm. And once that, you know, goes away, you know, I don't care enough for it to be just about music and about awards or, you know,
there was more to it.
Chart
plan for
chart topping songs. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's more passion behind it in that way. And so, yeah, that's kind of what's fueled everything that I'm doing. But the unfortunate thing is when COVID hit and things took off for me musically, we weren't able to go back down to Guatemala to do work and stuff there. And so, I haven't been back since the start of COVID, which sucks. We had a couple friends from our team go down this last month, but I was in Nashville for a month, and so I wasn't able to go with them. But it was for them to, you know, get back to our villages and you know, start rebuilding connections and stuff with them and seeing our family down there. And but yeah, that's kind of what fuels everything that I do. But it's tough because once you get into doing this time, it takes all of your time.
It does.
So
it
right
does.
Now, yeah, right now it's just trying to find that balance of, you know, we had a management call this last week and you know, management asked me about it. They're like, hey, we haven't heard about your nonprofit for a while. Like, what's going on there? And I was like, yeah, that's right. Yeah. We got to start talking about that stuff more. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we still want to be involved down in Central America with Hope of Life and, you know, they're just amazing down there. But we also are realizing, you know, there's a lot of work that needs to be done in our backyard here in Canada too. So
huge.
we're trying to figure out where we can be the most useful, how we can help, and just figure that stuff out first. Cause I think that's really important as well.
Yeah. You and I were talking about this last time because I've worked with Hope for Life for a long time. And
yes.
Yeah. And I talked to you about that because it's really important to me because it's what my platform is here too, And that's, we both have the same ideas in mind. And yeah, one of these days you and I are going to sit down and have a chat, because I think we can do a lot together.
Yeah, absolutely.
Most definitely, because that's the whole thing, is being able to give back. And it's so, so key. And I know that's where your heart is. That's why I wanted to make sure I brought that back up again, and just to see how you were doing with that. So, and it's a cool story too, because that's what really helped the decision to be able to go into music full time, or even a go after this career professionally. So it's a cool story. Very cool story.
Yeah. Mm.
Talk about your writing, the songwriting, because I know how much it means to you. When you first started out writing and what your songs meant to you then, has that changed to how you view your songwriting today?
Yeah, I think so. I think I've been more affirmed in what I'm doing. You know, I don't think much has really changed. I think I've evolved as a songwriter.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, being down in, you know, Nashville, writing with a lot of these writers that I write with, I'm learning from them. I'm studying them, how they're writing songs, how I can, you know, adapt, how I can evolve. And I'm starting to take these, you know, skills, and even just writing with myself still, just writing on my own. We just might have some new music out. I mean, we got my latest one, Back Drink Whiskey, out, but we got some more songs that we might be putting out this year, and some stuff that I hold dear close to me, because it's just stuff that is just me and my guitar.
Very cool.
You know, kind of going back to the roots, but I think, you know, I get in these rooms with these people that I look up to so much, as writers, and it's really cool when, you know, I'll bring an idea and they're like, oh yeah, let's chase after that. It's like, oh, you know, you want to chase after my idea like that. That's, it's been really cool, you know, because they have just unbelievable ideas all the time. So it's really cool for me to be able to bring something to the table in whatever way that is when we're in the room writing. But I think it's been really affirming, because, you know, I've been a writer on majority of the songs that we've released. Which has been really cool. And, you know, all of them have at least gone top 10, which is
crazy.
Phenomenal. Like, that's
six top 10, right? Six so far? Top 10?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
I don't even know how many songs we put out.
Pretty sure, but it's like six top 10 that you've got right out of the gate. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's crazy. And so
it's kind of cool when you look back at Nashville, because I think you'll see as you go through these different chapters, because they will be different chapters in your life, because things evolve in your life and life changes. And, you know, those experiences will influence, you know, the kind of writing you want to do for different projects. But sitting in rooms and running with as many people as you possibly can, it's different in Nashville, because that's all everybody does. And it's different when you come back to Canada. You're not writing quite as much, but when you're in Nashville, that's all you're doing the entire time you're there. So you'll learn a lot. And a lot of the time you might get pitched a song, which might not be something you've done yet. And those, all these different changes are going to happen, and you're going to grow and grow and grow. And what you just have to do is just be a sponge and just let it happen. And you'll be surprised.
Totally.
You'll be so surprised in what you pick up and how much you actually enjoy it, because that's the one thing that meant so much to you, was the songwriting to start with.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, that's, I love writing. Like, that's my favorite part of all of this, getting on stage and getting to play too. Like, that's really fun. But, you know, I love creating the stories, or at least putting them on paper. There's sometimes that I get pitched music and, you know, it's like, oh, this one, you know, this one beats the song that I wrote, so we have to release this one. And, you know, there's
you
that saying of
it.
Best song wins. And I mean, that's what Pillow Talking was for me. So that was the song that broke through. But then we get to put out, you know, I'll Be Over Me Too right after. And that's one that I wrote. And so it's been
certified
really
gold.
Cool to see.
Certified gold for that one.
Pretty cool. And I have songs that I've written that have been pitched and stuff, and it's really cool just seeing all ends of this industry in that way. And just how songs come about. And there's also times that it's like, you wrote the song this many years ago, but now is the time that this works,
right?
So I think timing's a huge part of it as well.
That's another thing. Yeah, that's another thing that you're gonna go through too, is when to release certain songs, and that becomes a strategy too. And seeing what's out there.
It really is.
Yeah. And there's a whole lot behind it. And that's where, you know, labels can really help you, and a team can really help you with that too. And also relying on your own in knowing what you wanna have represent you. You've had an idea from the beginning of that. And the stuff that you've put out so far has been incredible. I know that when we had you on last time, we were talking about this new stage. We're going to be playing two songs today that you have released since you've been on the show last. Let's talk about, or Never Met Me a Beer. Let's talk about that one. That was with Matt Lang.
Yeah. Cool Never song. Met a Beer. yeah, it's fun. So that song got pitched to me and Matt. And it was written by Danny Dupel, Tay Bay, and Jimmy Thau. And one came about, and yeah, I got pitched to both me and Matt. And me and Matt are good buddies and just drinking buddies too. And so
it's a good song that fits the two of you, like your extrovert personalities and just this fun party anthem. But it's that tongue in cheek.
Totally.
Right. That is so cool. That Southern drawl, the harmonies, all of it. It's just such an infectious song. It's just been such a cool one for both of you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I, this is my first collaboration that I've done too. And
oh, was it
I wouldn't
really?
Have it any other way than, yeah, I've never done a collaboration with somebody else. Yeah.
And you're doing that with a friend, a buddy.
Exactly. Like, it was fitting that I get to do it with one of my best buds, and it's about beer because I love beer.
I keep forgetting that.
Really fun.
And Danik, man, like Danik's, he's been on fire helping so many people too. And I just had Ali Walker on the show, and he works with Brian John Harwood. There's so many people that he works with. Dustin Bird. He does amazing work. He produced this one too and co-wrote this one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Danik does great stuff. Yeah. Me and him have cultivated basically my style and just me musically from the start. And so he's played a big part in that. But yeah, the song came to both of us, and, you know, we were chatting about it, and neither of us at first were going to cut it. We were like,
really?
Like maybe. I hadn't had a drinking song really.
Mm-hmm.
Much like, you know, my songs have been about other things and relationships and breakups and all that stuff, but you know, it was kind of funny just the way that the song was written, and they did such a good job of being cheeky about it.
Me and Matt were talking
yeah, and like me and Matt both loved the song. It was just a timing thing and trying to figure out when the right time was, and you know, if this fit what I was doing or whatever. And then me and Matt started talking, like, well, what if we did this like together? You know, like, this would be a really cool song if we just did this together. It doesn't exactly have to be either of our, like, styles.
Mm-hmm.
It can be something completely different. But, I mean, it's kind of up both of our alleys. And so we're like, this could be a really cool song if we did this one together. And so there's no questions about it. We wanted to do it. And then it was perfect because Matt was having me out to play a festival, you know, out in Quebec.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got to do that in St. Sit. And we filmed the whole music video there too. And so,
it's, so cool.
It's just been a wild journey and really fun. And yeah, so it's been awesome.
I remember you saying to me that there was because you couldn't announce what the song was when you were on last time because you were going to Cavendish for July. And then, you know, when this one was coming out, you said, it's something that's really different for me. And when I heard it, I went, it's right in your wheelhouse vocally. And same thing with Matt. It was a perfect fit. So it was such a cool song.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very, very cool. We're going to play this one right now. Awesome. Here is Never Met a Beer by my special guest, CMA award-winning country artist, Tyler Joe Miller, featuring Matt Lang here on Music's Journey.
Got a feeling, been trying to fight, but we ain't leaving this bar tonight. Till I run out of cash or the taps run dry, take whatever they got, even if it's life. Tip the tap, buddy, let it flow,
let it flow.
This happy hour's nearly out the door, drinking till the last call light. I never met a beer I didn't like. It could be a cold
summer. Some taste a little better than the others. Love a long neck with a lime stuck in it on a bar stool where I do my business. Hair of the dog fix me up right. I never met a beer that I didn't like.
Yeah, what do you think, man?
Make you a tall boy or a king cane, just put it right here in my hand. I don't care where it's from, it'll taste just fine. Never met a beer I didn't like. It could be a cold one from the bottom of a Yeti or the console of a jacked up Chevy. Six pack in a solo cup summer. Some taste a little better than the others. Love a long neck with a lime stuck in it on a bar stool where I do my business. Hair of the dog fix me up right. I ain't never met a beer that I didn't like. It could be a cold one from the bottom of a Yeti or the console of a jacked up Chevy. Six pack in a solo cup summer. Some taste a little better than the others. Love a long neck with a lime stuck in it on a bar stool where I do my business. Hair of the dog fix me up right. I ain't never met a beer that I didn't like.
Yeah, I haven't met one yet.
Yeah, man, I like them all.
I know you do. I've seen you drink.
You didn't see nothing yet.
That was Never Met a Beer, a fun, loving, upbeat party anthem, which is what all of our fans love so much when it comes to country star Tyler Joe Miller and Matt Lang. That was released in August of 2022. So such a cool song. Told you. Worked very well for you.
Yeah.
Very, very well.
Not too shabby.
Not too shabby at all. Now, talk about the success that you've had so far in your career. I know it's been an overwhelming journey because it came at you pretty quick. And sometimes just being able to take that moment and let it soak in when you're getting on a stage and being able to remember those moments that we've talked about before. What does success look like to you now, starting from when you were in this, and you know what the dream looked like to you and what it looks like to you today? What's the difference in success for you?
Yeah, I think from the get-go, I knew how I wanted to measure it.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember going on my first radio tour, and it was right before COVID hit. I was probably like the last person station saw go through, or one of the last ones. And I remember kind of saying in those interviews, or at least in these meetings and stuff with radio stations, I remember saying, you know, my measure of success is not, it's not charts, it's not awards or anything like that. It's not radio play. It's if people are going to connect with the songs and if they're going to be singing along with me when I play shows.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, we had some really great radio success and we had some really good charting songs. And so like the things that I didn't want to measure it with were the only ways that I could measure it because I wasn't able to play shows for a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And so
yeah, it was rotten timing, you know, for all that stuff for you. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. But also really like there's a silver lining in it because I think it was a good investment of time into my career as well, because I feel like we got to skip a couple steps.
Mm-hmm.
in a little bit of a way because, you know, we got to hit some really great stages the first year going out and touring and playing shows. And so, you know, I think we got some pretty good spots on really great lineups. And so, but that was my measure of success. That was the only measurement I could have because I wasn't able to get in front of people. And then I got really reminded this last year of being able to finally go and play all the festivals. And, you know, I went on a tour with Jess Moskaluk and just seeing people sing the songs back to me,
mm-hmm,
just reminded me of what the true measure of success is. And it's the fans. It's people connecting with my music, singing them back to me. And, you know, that it's helped them in some sort of way. And mm-hmm, so it's definitely come back to that. And, you know, it's really cool hearing myself on the radio. It's still
hard
weird
to get used to, I bet, right?
It is. Yeah. But and like that's really cool, but it's not like, oh, is the station gonna play? Oh, is this gonna happen? It's like, no, I can't wait to get back out and play in mm-hmm. front of people and see if they like the song as much as I do.
That's and a so, really good way to yeah. look at it. Really good way to look at it. And if you continue looking at it that way, your music's always going to be what matters and the type of mm-hmm. music that you connect with, which if you connect with it, the fans are going to pick it up too. They'll connect with it.
Yeah.
And that's key.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's cool too, because I can sing about something and, you know, I had a song that I put out, Fighting, and that one was kind of just about dealing with my inner demons sort of thing.
Huge. And, yeah, it was a great song.
Yeah, thank you. And I had so many people showing me like tattoos of lyrics from the song on them, and, you know, people just sharing stories with me of going like, hey, I didn't, you know, my thing isn't alcohol, but my thing is this, or mm-hmm. I've gone through this and this is what I'm fighting with. And it's been really cool when people not only connect with your story, but they write themselves into it. And so that's been really, really cool for me as a songwriter to see people connect with a story, but it's in a different way. And then you hear what their story is. And it's just really cool how music really, truly brings people together in that way.
It's a universal language. And I think the more vulnerable you are as a songwriter and the more vulnerable you are in the choices that you make in the songs that you release, you're going to have your party songs and all that. That's just something that the fans love too, right? And you're playing to yeah. radio when it comes to that stuff too. But the fans, you can tell with a song like Fighting. And, you know, when I was talking to Tennille Towns last week, songs that mean so much to her that radio or management might turn around and say, I don't think that one's going to do as well. And then all of a sudden it hits because of the vulnerable lyrics, because people can relate to it.
Yeah.
So that's why I always appreciated everything about your songwriting when you started this journey, because I see that in your music again now. And when you brought it back to your new single that's out right now, Back to Drinking Whiskey, it reminds me of what I loved about your songwriting the first time I heard you. And it's very cool.
Thank you.
You've got something special there. And I'm really hoping that you know that. And just remember, the more vulnerable you are, the better your songs are going to be, the better your songwriting is going to be, and the more connection you're going to have with everyone.
Oh, well, thank you very much for that. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think, you know, we've been a little vulnerable, but I think I got some more in the tank that's going to come out that I think we're going to get pretty vulnerable in the next stuff that'll be coming out. And yeah, it's cool because I think we're tapping into more of the songwriter side of me.
That's
instead
awesome.
Of just the artist. And so that's really important for me mm-hmm. as an artist, because we can put songs out to that are, you know, radio singles any day, whatever, but there's some songs that it's like it might not hit the airwaves, but you know, I think people are really going to connect with them. And mm-hmm.
I'm so glad you're doing that. That I am proud of, my friend. That I am proud of. That's very cool. So good to hear, because you're on a journey and you're making it your own and you're releasing the kind of stuff that matters to you. And that is respect. I respect that, definitely.
Oh, thank you very much.
Let's talk about Back to Drinking Whiskey. Tell us about this love story that's gone wrong. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it's when we started writing this one, it was kind of like, oh, this is back to, you know, how I started out with, you know, mm-hmm. Pillow Talking was kind of one of those heartbreaker ones. Back to Drinking Whiskey is, I feel like we've kind of gone all over the spectrum releasing music. And this one was like, kind of felt like OG me. Mm-hmm. And so we started writing it and wrote it with Kelly Archer and Danik Tupel. And
this, oh, that's right. Danik's on this one too. I forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And when we were writing it, it was cool because it wasn't like, oh, this is, you know, what's going on in my life. This was like, all right, this is something that I think a lot of people can connect with, because you find somebody, you know, that makes you feel so loved and so wanted and valued that it's like, I don't really need these other vices anymore. You know, mm-hmm. I don't need to go to the bar and, you know, drink till close. I don't need to waste my time with, you know, another smoky bar and cheap beer sort of thing. It's like, no, like I can, or whiskey, I guess, but it's like, no, like I, you know, I don't have to be here anymore because, you know, I'm happy just being at home watching a show with her. I'm happy just going out to dinner. I'm happy with, you know, the simple things in life that aren't, you know, that isn't alcohol or things like that. And then, you know, once things go south.
Yeah, like the need and the want.
There's no need for it anymore.
Yeah, the need and the want is the same for every single one of us on this planet. And that is, we all want to be loved and we all want to be accepted. We all want to feel good with the person that we're with. We want that best friend. And all the rest of it is when we talk about drinking or people that are workaholics, you know, it's not just about drinking. It's people could be consumed with work and thinking that's what they need. And eventually we all learn that's nothing to what we needed all along. Those are just things that we're using to mask what our actual needs are. And that's what I loved about the story, because you're stripping it back and you're getting to the nuts and the bolts of what a real relationship is and what we're here to do. And that is to care about one another and see each other for real. And that's what the song's about.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's, you know, I also call breakup songs drinking songs, because that's normally what you end up resorting to.
Exactly.
but yeah, this is one of those like cheeky breakup songs where it's, you know, it sucks for him that she's left him, but it's like, well, damn, I guess I'm just back to my old ways for a little bit sort of thing.
Old and habits.
It may not be the, exactly. And it may not be the healthiest thing, but it's real.
The old habits come back to haunt you every time.
Exactly. And yeah, like it's not the healthiest thing, but I think it is the most realistic thing.
Oh, because people can relate to it. Whatever it is, you're going to go down that dark path for a moment because you're hurting. It's how people deal with hurt.
Exactly.
Right.
Yep. Yeah.
I loved it. I absolutely loved it. Yes, this is a surefire hit. This is a guarantee hit for you.
Oh, well, thank you. I hope so.
I think so. I definitely can. I've predicted every one of the songs that you've done so far, so I'm predicting this one too. There's no doubt about it.
Okay.
I'll take it. We're going to play this one right now. Here is Back to Drink and Whiskey by multi-award winning country artist Tyler Joe Miller here on Music's Journey.
Same familiar neon blue, same old band playing something new. Been a while since I've seen Jack and Jim. Bartender says, where the hell you been? I said, that's a story I don't want to talk about. Pour a double on the rocks, cause I came here to drown. This one was a top shelf hurt. Didn't need it when I had her. Cause I traded the burn for the sweet on her lips. The midnight smoke for a moon. It's way too sober, no.
That was the new hit single. I'm telling you, I'm predicting it right now. And that is Back to Drinking Whiskey by my very special guest, multi-award winning country artist, Tyler Joe Miller. Don't forget, you can download the new single on all your streaming platforms and you can add it to your playlist. Don't forget to share it. And you can also request it at your favorite local country radio station as well. Let's talk about shooting the video for this one.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We just shot the music video for it. And, we shot it down in Nashville.
Nice.
And it's fun, but also like I love creating the stories and, you know, getting other people to act it out. And, we did something a little bit different for this video. So I'm the one singing the story, but I'm also the one in the story. So I had to do a little bit of acting this time.
Nice. You're kind of comfortable with that, right? That's,
I mean, I wanted to be an actor before I wanted to be a musician.
But it's important to you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it's more of my team that's telling me, hey, you got to get in front of the camera. Because I think a lot of people know my music and they know my name, but I think it's putting my face and my name and my music all together is we still have to make that connection a bit more. Mm-hmm. And so it's more of a strategic play for me to do that. Smart. In a way of people seeing, oh, he's the one singing the song. This is what he looks like. This is, you know, and, so we decided that I would be a bigger part of the music video and, we shot it with, his name is Ryan Nolan, the director and videographer and everything. He's really great down there. And, it was fun. I think it's a good way of visually telling the story and I think it's going to come across that way as well. And it was just a fun music video.
Well,
there's
well
not much
done.
To say. It's kind of the music video is going to tell the story.
I'm so proud of you. You're doing everything right now and just getting yourself out there. But one thing I'd like you to know is I think we all know what you look like. We all know who you are now. So just giving you that little hint that we all know exactly who you are now.
Oh, well, thank you. That's good to hear.
That's awesome. You also are back out on the road again, and you've got Calgary, British Columbia, Quebec. You got some more tour dates that you're announcing as well that are coming up. So you're heading back out on tour. Tell us about that.
Yeah, we got a lot of shows coming up. And so we start in a couple weeks back on the road, and got some with Dean Brody, and then we're doing we're all over the place. We got headlining a couple festivals in Quebec, and then also part of
Boots and
the
Hearts.
Lasso lineup, Boots and Hearts, and we're all over the place. I think not all the shows and stuff have been announced, but I think we're going to be going coast to coast. So
nice.
Yeah, so we're going to be all over hitting everything and everywhere. So it's what I thought was going to be a light summer, and now it ended up being really busy. I think I have to get my head through the fact that there's no such thing as a light summer anymore.
No, and that's a good thing, though, because that's festival time, and you want to be on as many stages as you can get when it comes to your music. Yeah. I am penciling in Sunday, August 13th. You're going to be headlining The Front Porch, and that is at this year's Boots and Hearts Music Festival. And
that's right.
Maybe we'll do a live interview instead of doing it this way. And I get to see that face of yours and do it live and in person. That'd be cool.
Yeah, I'll be there. Mm-hmm. And I'm there too, because I'm such a big fan of Boots and Hearts. And so, I played there before I was doing my Tyler Joe Miller thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, which is just my thing. Like, I used to play backup for other people that, you know,
I've probably seen you.
Emerging artist stuff, and I've been around.
I got to check all my photos, because I was the veteran in the pit from the beginning, so I got to check all my photos now.
Oh, yeah, maybe. It was the Front Porch stage in, like, the emerging artist stuff, but...
Very cool.
Yeah, it's funny. I actually applied for... the emerging artist thing the same year as this guy that won it. His name's Jade Eagleson. So I'm really glad I wasn't in it, because he would have whipped my butt.
Oh, you got a great voice there. I hate to tell you, but you got a really great voice. You're born for this, and you're born for country music. You. So, yeah, don't kid yourself. You might have given him a run for his money. There you go. You just might have done that.
Maybe.
I love you both. You guys are so good at what you do. I'm looking forward to it. I'm really looking forward to seeing you perform and headlining on that front porch stage. That's going to be pretty cool.
Thank you. Yeah. Me and Jade are also really good buddies. So I was just at his place a couple weeks ago, but we were talking about, you know, the olden days and you know, that we get to do this stuff together now. And me and him are playing the same day at Lasso, so that's going to be fun too.
Oh,
and,
nice. That's nice.
So you guys I'm excited to cheer. I'm excited to play Boots, and I'm just such big fans of, you know, Travis Denning and Riley Green and Tim McGraw and all that. So
Keith Urban,
it's stoked to be able to.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the lineup, the day that I'm on, I'm just such a big fan of everybody and for all the days, but I'm just stoked to get back there and play. It's going to be so fun.
It'll be great to see you. It's going to be nice to be able to see you live and in person and not through a mic and listening to your voice and nothing else. It's it's not the same.
Exactly.
Not the same thing. Now, I did see a post on your Instagram for you singing one of your favorite songs, Sad Song. Man, I had goosebumps listening to that.
Oh, well, thank you.
You deliver that emotive, that is just killer vocals. You did a great job on that song.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm such a big fan of Mike Ryan's music. He's awesome. And, you know, there's a bunch of songs that I'd love to cover of his, but Sad Song was definitely one of those ones that has stood out to me. And it's just like a piano song, which I think is really cool. And we shot that video actually for some like live stream shows during COVID because we couldn't play anywhere. So that was like one of the first things we ever did, you know, for my music and playing anything was that one of those, like those videos.
Oh, very cool.
And so we cut that out of like a 30 minute acoustic show sort of thing. But yeah, we have lots of that stuff. And so I don't really post too much of like me singing and playing, which I think I have to start doing more.
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah. On my Instagram, I did a little poll of like, you know, do you want to see more stuff like this? And there's a few people that said no. So too bad for them, because I'm going to keep doing it. But
I think people just do it just to do it. They just want to. I don't know. You saw me and what I said.
Yeah.
It was automatic. Okay.
Yeah.
Favorite style of songwriting? What do you gravitate to? If you're listening to a song or you're listening to the radio, what's your favorite style?
I gravitate to basically what my favorite song in the world is. And that's Raining New by Brad Paisley.
I was going to say it had to be Brad Paisley. Yep.
It is, yeah. Office Time Well Wasted album. It's like a deep track, but man, it is just, it's my favorite song in the world. And it's just this slow, really chill. It's like played on like a nylon string guitar and mandolin. And it's just, it's sad. But it's in a way where it's like, it's peaceful in a way too. And I think sad songs can also bring peace in a lot of ways, where it's kind of like therapy, talking through your issues and things you're going through kind of helps bring you to the other side. And so I think music, sad songs within music also do that as well. At least they do for me. And so I normally, if I pick up a guitar and I want to start writing some, it's normally a bit more of a sad song.
Okay.
And so
I can see that. I can see that. Because the thing too is that a lot of the time, if you think about it, when you're listening to a sad song, it's a validation to the feelings that you're feeling. Because if we hold on to it, that's when our stomach goes and we just can't sleep. We can't think. We can't, you know, when you're going through something like that. But when you're listening to a song that you can relate to, it's a release. It's like, oh, you know, something, somebody just took the words right out of my head and my heart. And it's therapy. You can bet that for sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
Absolutely.
Music is just such a cool thing. Well, you answered that the next question, which was, what is your favorite Brad Paisley song? Because I knew that was that was one that is just automatic, because I know how much of a fan you are. Is it hard for you to be vulnerable, or is it easy to write?
It's easier for me to do it in writing than it is for me to just say it.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm pretty good at like assessing where I'm at with things, like emotionally, vulnerably. I think I'm pretty good at being able to admit where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
But it's sure of a hell of a lot easier putting it into a song.
Yeah, the feelings.
Because you also don't know if a song is, you know, what that artist is actually going through, or if it's just a story.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of one of those things where it's like, this could be true or could not be true. Who knows? And so it's a bit easier for me to put it into a song that way. But there's some songs that I've written that are extremely vulnerable that I haven't gone through,
mm-hmm.
but I know other people have, or it's close enough to me of people that I know that are going through that or have in the past. And so telling other people's stories, I think can be very vulnerable. But yeah, there's some songs too recently that I've written that are my story and things that I'm going through and that are extremely vulnerable. So,
awesome. Those are the ones I love.
That's kind of my easy way to do it.
Yeah,
those are definitely my favorite as well. There's something about them that hits you different.
Well, that's the thing too about going out on the road, excuse me, that you can't do on Zoom and during COVID and things like that. When you meet people and you hear their stories, that's where a lot of writing comes in for so many of the great songwriters. Is hearing their stories and bringing those stories to life, because it impacts you. You get those emotional feelings when you're hearing somebody's gone through something and it's like, oh, you know, I got to write about that. You know, it's just, it stays with you. And that's the whole point of that, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
What is your secret talent that fans don't know about?
My secret talent?
See, this is where I should be asking the bandmates.
Yeah, probably.
Or I should be asking Matt.
Yeah, maybe. Man, secret talents. I have no clue. I'm sure there's some weird ones. I can do some like impersonation. So I think it's like a voice impersonation talents probably is a weird.
Okay, you gotta give me one. You know, you gotta give me one now.
I can't do that.
Oh, the extrovert can do that.
That's why it's a secret talent.
Okay, you got me on that one, but you know I'm gonna bug you for it. I'm gonna get that. I'm definitely gonna get it.
Maybe eventually.
No, I will. You don't know me well enough.
Secret talent is also, it's more of like a hobby of mine. Something that I like doing. I brew beer at home, like just on my spare time. And so I sucked at science in high school, but apparently this science I can understand.
Stuck with
when
you.
It comes to beer.
Okay, so what is your favorite beer on the market? What's your favorite beer?
Oh, my favorite beer on the market. Mm-hmm. Like brew or just type of beer?
Yep.
Both?
Mm-hmm.
Well, locally, where I'm at in Langley, BC, is Camp Beer Company is my favorite one. It's my watering hole that I'm at all the time.
Okay.
Met my lady there too. But that's my favorite brewery around our area. And then in Ontario, you guys have a lot of great breweries, or they have a lot of great breweries in Ontario. And Red Barn Brewery in Chatham or Blenheim
area. Very cool.
Yeah, I did a pop-up show there this last winter. And I guess it was this last November or something like that. I did a pop-up little acoustic show there. And Danny and the crew there are just really great. And have some really, really great beer. My favorite type of beer is dark lager.
Mm, okay. So you like that rich flavor.
I like the dark beers, but dark lager is just so nice that it's still rich.
It's smooth though.
It's very smooth. Toasty.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's still light enough where you can drink a few. So yeah, that's my favorite.
Very cool. So then you got your own beer that you're working on. So we might be seeing a Tyler Joe Miller can of some sort coming up, maybe.
That'd be the dream.
Mm.
Yeah. Well, I've done a few of them now, so they're getting better and better, I hope.
There you go. See? You just never know. You might have your own brewing company at some point in your life.
Yeah, I can't call it Miller Lite, though, so I have to do something else.
Yeah, you'd have to call it something else.
Miller TJ. Heavy. I don't know. I'll
TJ. TJ Miller.
Yeah, something like that.
TJ Miller. There isn't one of those out there, so yeah, I can. That kind of rolls off the tongue. That's pretty cool. Just never know.
I mean, he's an actor and comedian, TJ Miller.
That's true.
But...
That's true. Oh, yeah. I forgot about
Someone
that.
Someone will sue me. Either way, I'm getting sued.
Okay. We'll figure out something. We'll come up with something for you. No problem.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, thank you so much. You got new music coming. Any idea if a date or roughly what time of the year?
Not too far away, but not too soon.
Not too far away, not too
honestly,
soon.
Okay,
honestly, that's not nice. I've been good to you here. Come on. Give me a little bit more.
Be keeping an eye out the next couple months.
In the next couple months. Okay. All right. Yeah. I can handle that. That's better. I can deal with that.
Before summer.
Okay. So I will have you back on the show. And trust me, I'm going to come up with some questions that I'm not going to let you get away with not answering.
Okay, fair enough.
challenge.
Yeah.
All right, you have a great day. Thank you so much for taking some time and talking about the new music. It's so cool. You've done a great job, and I love the new single. So can't wait to have you back on and talk about these deep ones you got coming up.
Oh, well, thank you very much. Thanks for having me again. Pleasure as always.
Always. All right, we'll talk to you really soon. Have a great time ice fishing. Catch one for me.
Yes. Thanks. I'll try.
He's going to try. Or he's going to go next door going, okay, hold it up. This is for Cam.
Yeah. I have to pay that lady to come back and fish for me.
That's right. All right. Listen, you take care. We'll be watching your socials and we'll be waiting for that other single too.
All right. Thanks very much, Kim. Appreciate it.
Take care.
All right. Take care.
Bye. A great big thank you to my very special guest, multi-award-winning country artist Tyler Joe Miller, for coming on the show. I've got some great shows that are coming up. I'm going to be interviewing Madeline Merlot, Sean Hogan, Tim Hicks, Brian John Harwood, Jay Coote, the winner for The Voice, is going to be back with another special song. I've got The Heels, Devin Cooper, David James, Shantaya, Brittany Cannell, Runaway Angel, Anthony Tulo, Rock Icons Lighthouse, Griffin Palmer, Rock Icons The Stampeders, Ty Wilson, Rock Band Harmonies, The Prairie States, Dan Davidson, Annika, and so many more. Don't forget you can catch all my shows that you don't want to miss at musicsjourney.com. You can also check out all the articles, new releases, new videos, and reviews at nowandthenmagazine.com. Well, that's it for me, Kim Sear. Thank you so much for tuning into The Music's Journey Show, and have yourselves a wonderful day. I will catch you here next time on Music's Journey.
Crowded room and I'm still lonely. Talking tough, but it ain't true. And any girl tries to love me, I'm scared to death, I'll break her heart in two. Still looking for something to believe in, be the man my daddy told me to be. Fall on my knees searching for the reason, find the strength the good Lord gave me. I'm still fighting with the demons up inside my head, and I ain't lying, there's some dark ones underneath my bed. Done hiding, still ain't the man I wanna be, but I'm still fighting, and I'm still fighting. Sometimes I still drink too much whiskey,
close the blinds and hide my phone. And pray like hell, Lord, will save me. And tear these walls down stone by stone. I'm still fighting with the demons up inside my head. And I ain't lying, there's some dark ones underneath my bed. I'm hiding, still ain't the man I wanna be, but I'm still fighting. Yeah, I'm still fighting. Somehow I'm finding the courage, I'm living and learning it all. I know I'm still fighting inside my head, and I ain't lying, there's some dark ones underneath my bed. Afraid, but I don't care, can't be brave if you ain't scared. I'm still fighting.